So just to reiterate, for over most of September and October, we're considering how we are growing together in our church families in Harwell and Chilton, and how our life together can be enhanced. We're calling this season of sermons and Bible studies that are linked to the sermons, we're calling it Journeying Together. Journeying together is about coming alongside others. Last week we were introduced to this through the story of the Good Samaritan. Today we're going to explore the action of coming alongside others in more detail. And we're going to be using the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 from Mark's Gospel, which Mel has just read to us. As we journey together, we're not doing so in our own strength. Paul's words from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, remind us that it is God who showers us with compassion and comfort, not only to help us, but to enable us to come alongside others. He said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." When God comes alongside us and brings comfort, he often does so through the tangible presence of another human being. Having experienced someone helping us through a hard time, then God uses that experience to bring us alongside someone else who's having a difficult time. And we can be his presence in another person's life. I'm going to ask you in a couple of minutes of quiet just to think, if you want to write it down on your blue sheet, please do, but to think about someone who's come alongside you in a time of trial or a time of difficulty, someone who's helped you. You don't need to share this because this is very personal, so you can write this for your own thoughts. And then I'd like you to think about someone else that you might come alongside. If there's somebody that's on your mind that you think you could come alongside and just help them in a difficult time, and you could pray about that person too. So just a couple of minutes of quiet for you to consider someone who's helped you and someone who you might be able to help. Thank you for thinking through that. Do continue making some notes if that's helpful to you. It's amazing really how often God works through other people, even though we might not be aware of it at the time. I've certainly been very conscious of loving care and compassion and support from our two churches in Harwell and Chilton, as ups and downs with my parents' health, and also during my training, before I was ordained and training since as well. Lots of very practical support, as well as prayer support, people coming on courses with me and writing notes, writing references, writing portfolios and things like that. Lots of gifts being used, for which I will always be very thankful. I was actually helped at the Churchill Hospital a few years ago by somebody I didn't know. I'd taken my dad there. He had skin cancer, and he'd had an operation to remove the skin cancer, and we were going to the Churchill and thought this was going to be the last appointment. But the doctor there said, "You're going to have a course of 5 weeks of radiotherapy coming in every day for 5 weeks." And he just slumped. He just couldn't take that in. And he just went downhill, and he died within the month from that news. He'd been declining for some time, but that was the last straw, really. And we were getting back into the car, and I was lifting up a wheelchair to put it into the boot, and a lovely man just came along from nowhere. I didn't know him. He said, "Here, let me help you with that," and just put it into the car. And I said, "Oh, thank you so much," and he disappeared, and I never saw him again. Now, whether that was a person, it could have been an angel, it could have been an angelic presence, I really don't know. But that person just came along, and you think, well, that's not much to do, but actually, it was just what was needed at the time. I was managing with a wheelchair, but it was just somebody being kind and thoughtful, and just take that burden. And so that was really great. And I'm sure we've all had experiences of people coming alongside like that. Now, last week we asked the question, who cares? As we thought about the Good Samaritan. This week we're considering how we can translate that core value of care into our everyday culture, our ethos, so that the whole church can grow together. A culture that characterises our churches grows over time, and that culture originates in God himself through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In the verses we heard from the letter to the Hebrews this morning, our first reading, we heard that because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and the shedding of his blood, we can enter God's presence with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, and as a result, we can encourage one another and spur one another on to good deeds. We receive from God in Jesus, not to keep his love and comfort to ourselves so that we have that nice warm feeling, but to share that love and comfort with others. As Christians and as churches, we're not called to be reservoirs that store his love up for ourselves, but we're called to be conduits who carry that love and share it with others by coming alongside them. We might have lots of exciting programs and activities going on in our churches, but our primary concern should be to come into God's presence as his people to worship him and then serve him in that love. I'm going to quote Paul again. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10, calls on followers of Christ to give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. If we fail to share that love with others within the church, then we don't stand much chance of being effective outside the church. Now, there's a great deal of love, care and encouragement shared in our churches, which I mentioned earlier, but we mustn't be complacent. And there are times when we have failed to show compassion and love to others, and some people may have left our church families as a result. This is something for which we should repent and look for ways to change, to develop and to grow. But we don't develop unless we put Christ at the centre of all we do and grow into an ever more authentic community. Now let's turn to our gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. Jesus had recently sent out his disciples to go from village to village to preach that people should repent, to drive out demons and to anoint sick people. And they'd done all of this and had come back, probably excited but exhausted, to report back on all that they had done and taught. But a huge crowd gathered around them, so Jesus led them to a quiet place to be by themselves. How lovely to go off with Jesus to a quiet place. But that wasn't to last long, because the crowd had watched them sailing off across the lake and had run round by the land to meet them. As the boat landed, there was a huge difference in the reactions of Jesus and those of his disciples. And as he met with the crowd, Jesus had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And it was like a physical feeling of compassion, like his tummy perhaps turning over, that sort of, oh, you know, these people are desperate, they're sad, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And he had that same sort of compassion when he heard that his friend Lazarus had died, and he wept. It was quite a natural thing for him to feel that compassion coming from God. He wanted to minister to them. In contrast, the disciples' reactions were things like, this is a remote place and it's already very late. Send the people away. In other words, get rid of them. Perhaps they were thinking of themselves, their own tiredness and hunger, which is understandable, their need for a restorative time with Jesus. They certainly didn't feel compassion for the crowd. They exhibited compassion deficit. They saw the crowd as problematic, not as a group of people with needs, needs which required feeding teaching, healing, and loving. Jesus, however, saw their needs and addressed them. He taught them. He fed them physically with a meager supply of bread and fish, which he offered to his Father God for blessing and multiplying. He could see that they had little purpose in their lives and little self-worth. He showed them his love. There are a number of pointers in Jesus' reaction from which we can learn, and I'm going to mention just three. Firstly, Jesus accepted the people as they were. One of the strongest needs we have as humans is the need to belong. And to belong, we have to feel we are accepted. I expect we've all experienced being rejected. Maybe it was at school. I never got picked for the sports teams. Can't imagine why, can you? But that sort of thing, you feel rejected. But sometimes, that's just a trivial example, but some people feel very rejected. They're not accepted, they're not loved. Love says we belong as we are, with all our needs. A caring culture moves towards others, provides a safe, accepting atmosphere. Secondly, Jesus validated the people. The disciples rejected the crowd and disapproved of them being there. They made excuses for their lack of compassion. Jesus acted in a way that told the crowd they were worth his time and care. Valuing people is one of the most compassionate things we can do. Thirdly, Jesus reached out to the people. The disciples were dismissive, seeing them as being too much of a burden. But Jesus invited them in, needs and all. As church communities, we can draw on Christ's resources, invite him to give us his sense of compassion, invite him to take our meagre offerings into his miracle hands. In order to see Christ's miracle hands at work, we need to embrace even more fully a culture in which his miracles can happen, the culture of love that comes alongside. Let's close by reminding ourselves of the words we heard earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Amen.